Got your Bibles? How many's got a Bible tonight? Wave it at me. You don't wave at me, I'm going to get after you. Come on now. You need to bring your Bible to church. Some of you use a cell phone. Ernie here tonight? Not feeling good? What was that? Ernie's not here tonight. He was here this morning, had his cell phone out. Last time I heard him do that in Jeff's class, things started talking back at us. If you got your Bibles, turn to the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter number 2. Susie, God bless you, Susie. No, I'm going to open my mouth. You done open yours, and I'm going to open mine now. Mike, I wish you'd do something with her. I do, brother, but it ain't helping yet. She said, you're going to take a little, cut it back a little bit. Is that what you said?
I was just worried about you.
What is it? There's either one or two things you're worried about. Either it's getting too hot for you, or you're worried I'm going to blow this pacemaker sideways. Is that it? Okay. All right, if that's it, that's fine. If this morning didn't blow it out, I believe it would be all right tonight. Somebody say amen. 2 Kings 2, are you there? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I'll let you sit tonight. Stand. Change my mind. Stand, just us read tonight. This morning, the way I preached, I needed for you to sit. Tonight, I can read this chapter. I got a principle tonight I'm going to preach to you tonight. I think it'll help you if you let it. And it's on my heart. I talked to Chad a little bit about it before service. And I preached out of this chapter several times. It's an awesome chapter. 2 Kings chapter 2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And I'll read down to verse number 10a. And I'll stop at 10a. And then, I may read the whole thing, but we'll see. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy hand today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy hand today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elisha said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elisha took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now notice this. This is where we're getting to the heart of what I want to preach. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Well, that's good there. Before I be taken away from thee. And here's what Elisha said. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Well, that's good, ain't it? Jeremy, that's a good preacher right there. I'm about to get excited. Amen, preacher. Now notice my text. And this is Elijah speaking to Elisha. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Our Father, I want to ask you to help me tonight to preach like I've never preached before. Lord, I know there's people here in this room that need what I'm preaching. And I pray tonight that it will encourage them, will help them, and that there will be people of purpose. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on this thought. How, listen carefully, to get hard things. I want to tell you what's symptomatic of our generation. You want to hear what's symptomatic of our generation? Our churches, most people have given up on hard things. We've almost said, we might not say it out loud, but we've said it in our heart, God can't handle that. God can't handle that. Now, God can handle something, but he can't handle that. And we've given up on hard things. I thought I might mention the thing. By the way, I'm not just an ordinary preacher. I'm a God-called preacher that preaches it like it is. And I have not given up on hard things. I am still, at the age of 68 years old, launching out in the deep. I am still expanding my vision and my burden, and I am not afraid to ask God to do something more than I've ever seen. We've took on a lot of things here at the church. I've been told about everything that we've changed and everything I've done. Every time somebody said, that ain't gonna work. What's the preacher thinking now? What's he trying to do now? I'm trying to obey God. We got some, by the way, I ain't gonna lie to you, we got some hard ministries here. We have some ministries that are staples that are not really difficult. They kind of run themselves. But we got some stuff we're doing right here at this church. I want all y'all to know something. It's tough stuff. I think about that group. By the way, preacher, don't worry about my crowd. Half of them's up there. We got 200 people up there in the other building serving God in highways and hedges. I was told when we done that, oh, it ain't gonna work. That'll hurt the choir. That'll hurt this. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the best things I've ever done in my ministry. Now, is it easy? No. Listen, we got some tough cases up there. We got a couple graduates from here. Aren't y'all graduates from up there? You are, aren't you? God, I commend you. You have done well. Thank God. When you came, you was tough, wasn't you? Nod your little head at me. I mean, I ain't telling you they ain't tough. You know what we got to do to run that program? We got 9 bus routes. So that means we got to now find 9 drivers and 9 captains. Come on now. And by the way, them things break down. Thank God we got a garage crew. Bill Lamont runs that. Boy, he nodded his head no at me. We got to do that. And I want you to know something. I ain't going to lie to you. There's some toughies up there. And I ain't going to lie to you. We ditch one every once in a while. We suspend them. We kick them out, bring them back, kick them out, bring them back. That's just the way it is. Hello. I mean, I got a call about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. I don't know what it was. Some yahoo called me from St. Albans. He said, I need to complain. I need to know who to complain to. I said, you called the man. He said, well, you got some people on that bus that's crazy. And I said, what'd they do now? He said, they took her britches off and mooned me. I said, wait, why are you saying that? I said, well, I'll tell you what, I said, where were you? And I went and found a bus route, told the captain to chew him out, holler at him. And then I called him back and I said, now let me say something to you, sir. We chewed him out. We screamed at him. We fussed at him. But don't be surprised if you follow him next Sunday, you'll get mooned again. It's just the way it is. But some of them don't even know who the mom is and their dad is. They don't know much about anything. But I want to tell you, we better not be a church that stops dealing with hard things. We need to work on hard things. I was told not to do a frontline addiction program because we might draw some addicts down here. Where's Josh at? He here tonight? Was he up there working? He's up there working. I wish he was here tonight. Josh, what's his last name? Pennington. Druggie. Went to prison. Now he's called to preach. Now he's serving God. And if I'd have listened to the skeptic, if I'd have listened to the liberal, if I'd have listened to a bunch of pacifist Christians, I'd have not done that. But ladies and gentlemen, God told us to reach the whole world. I know we got some misfits. I know we get some bad people. But I got a God that'll give us hard things. I'm sorry, Susie, I'm losing it again. We got our food pantry. Oh, some of y'all think, boy, that's a great thing. That's easy, ain't it? Oh, yeah, it's easy. Got to go over and pick up food. We've got all the place to pick up food. We got buses and or a big old, we got big old truck up there, cost about $30,000. A couple of members probably about had a heart attack when we brought that to the business meeting. Oh, that's wasteful. Why in the world would you buy a box truck? Bought a box truck to bring box food here, knucklehead.
That's right. Come on, preacher.
You said, but why are you pressing all the time? Because God told me to do hard things. We go to Robert Shell Juvenile Center every Monday. He said, well, that ain't hard. Just go down there and preach. Oh, is that really what you think? Do you know every person that goes down there and preaches has to go down there and pass a test and go through their training before they're even allowed to preach? I think some of you members think all we do is snap our little fingers and God brings success. No, God brings success because we do it right and we are not giving up on God and we believe God can do great things even in this age. You said, my marriage is on the rocks. I got a God can do hard things. I got mission work to do. I got a God that can provide in your mission work. I got a habit that I can't defeat. I got a God that masters in helping defeat habits. And by the way, if y'all don't know it, Lord have mercy. It's a cordial. If you don't know it, I still fight for the faith. I take a stand toward the Calvinists, the contemporaries, and the liberals. I got a couple of liberal guys in this community that talk ugly about me. Could you imagine somebody talking ugly about me? And I know one of them that talks ugly about me. He don't even know who I am. And if he walked down this aisle right now, I wouldn't know who he was. But he bad-mouths me all the time. I'm his favorite subject. He's just a jealous weasel. Well, I tell you why he's so mad at me. Because, see, I still preach on standards. I still say if you get saved, you oughtn't drink or cuss or run with those that do. And his icebox is full of beer right now. You said, how you know it? Well, some of my young men have house cities singing, and they know it. He even offered him beer. I don't know if that guy's here. I ain't trying to mess with the guy that told me. Hello? And who'd want to go to his church? No wonder he don't have it on Sunday night. I wouldn't even have it on Sunday morning. He's a man. He's an idiot. Yes, we are trying to do something hard. My God, have mercy. I meant to not, I really didn't mean to go into all that. But some of you look like you need a little extra hard preaching today. Now I'm going to make a statement, then I'm going to preach. I won't say long now. I said that this morning, went over again. Let me ask you something. Look at me, and don't have to raise your hand. Do you have something difficult in your life? You got something hard you're facing? You ever wonder, have you almost given up on it? How to get hard things? Now I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to slow down and make it. God, write this down, Kim, is not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of principles. You want to know why God blesses your pastor? It's not because who I am. It is what I am. Now, what I'm going to do, and you write this down. Just pin this in your margin of your Bible. I'm going to give you 5 ways that you can accomplish hard things. Number one. It's simplistic. I know it is. Number one, Elisha was faithful to Elijah. You want to get hard things? You got to be faithful. Come on now. You got to be faithful to church. You got to be faithful to your partner. You got to be faithful in your tithe. You got to be faithful in all that you do. Somebody help me preach. Listen to this. Maybe you don't know this. Write this in your margin. Elisha, the Bible said when he met Elijah, he served Elisha. I did a study from the time he started to the time we were meeting right here. And I'm going to tell you how long it was, Kim. It was 10 years. Here's all he done for 10 years. He watched Elijah do the miracles, 7 of them. By the way, when he asked for a double portion, he actually was asking to do 14 miracles, and that's what he does if you check his book out. 7. He watched him do all those miracles. He never preached once. He never led a devotion. He never got to perform a miracle. All he did was serve the man of God. And he done it for 10 years. And he was faithful. And some of you want to know why you ain't getting hard things. You're just not faithful. You just won't stick with it. You're up, down, in, out. And you're just not faithful. You quit too easy. Oh, I'm sure. Listen to me. I'm sure if I had to tag along with somebody for 10 years... and say for 10 years, yes, sir, or no, sir. Yeah. 10 years. That might get a little bit difficult. Sure. Yes, wouldn't you think? Oh, yeah. He didn't say. I'm going to let you in on raising up this widow's boy that just died. Amen, preacher. Sorry, you ain't in it. By the way, you ain't also going to go up there to the Shumanite and see that cruiser boy. Ain't you. I ain't letting you do it. Only thing you're going to do is carry my Bible, carry my notes, carry my food, and minister to me. Whoa. And some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. See, I tell you what's wrong with this generation. They want to start up here instead of starting down there. I want you to know John Smith didn't start at the top. John Smith started, I had three little churches. One of them burnt down. I had to fight hell by the acre. But I started at the bottom. And when I came here, this wasn't a great church. This wasn't a big church. This wasn't a very fancy church. It wasn't much to it. But I want to tell you what I done. I came here. I stayed here. I've been faithful for 42 years. I ain't quit. I ain't stopped. I ain't going to stop.
Amen. Amen.
And we got a bunch of youngsters today that said, I want it all now. I didn't get it all now. Somewhere along the line, Michael, you got to be faithful. Number two, Lord God. You got your Bibles? Look at this. Man, I'm cranking here. Now, notice this. Help me cut this. Every time they went somewhere, and Elijah's getting ready to get caught up in the whirlwind, what did Elijah say to Elisha? He said, here's what he said. Stay here. Tarry here. Now, a whole lot of theology comes on this. Why did he do that? Did he really mean it? Did Elijah mean it? No, I don't think so at all. I think what he was doing was testing the young man. Come on, help me preach. Stay here. Boy, I'll give you John Smith hillbilly vernacular. When he said that to Elisha, I could look at Elijah and say, ain't no way, buddy. I have followed you for 10 years, and I am going to Jordan with you, and I am going to watch you go up, and I am going to get your mantle, and I'm going to do double what you've done, and I am not going to stop until I get there. Number 2 point, not only should you be faithful, you ought to be determined. Somebody help me preach. Now, I'll give you this extra thing. This is not my sermon. This is a sermon you can preach, Chad. He went to four places. I personally believe it was a test. And all four of those places teach something about the Christian life. Do you know that? Gilgal teaches, that's where they first circumcised after they went over into Canaan land. That teaches away the cutting away of the flesh. By the way, you'll never get heart things until you cut the flesh away. And then they went to Bethel. That's, you know, that Jacob went back to Bethel or back to communion with God. Somebody help me preach. Then he went to Jericho. That's when the walls came tumbling down and they saw a conquest. I want to tell you something. What Elijah was doing, he was training that boy in every aspect of life and seeing how determined he was. He ended up with Jordan, which means crucifixion. I want y'all to know this. I'm not the best preacher in the world, probably pathetic. I don't even know how y'all have listened to me for 42 years. This is not even a good outline. I'm not even got alliterated. How many knows I'm not alliterating? I'm not matching the words. You say, why ain't you? That ain't the way God give it to me. I'm just giving it to you. Hey, give it to me. Let me ask you something. Come look at me. How easy is it for you to quit? Stop. How determined are you? I know all y'all probably could name all my faults because I've been here long enough for you to know them. But there ain't one fault. There's one fault you'll know. You will not be able to pin on me. You ain't going to pin it on me. You might pin some. You might say, well, I don't like these paisley ties. And these Shaq O'Neal shirts. Well, okay. But I tell you what, you ain't pinning on me. You know me. I have came here. I have fought the battles. I have been determined. I have led you through warfare. good times and bad times, and I am determined to finish my course. I am going to finish by the grace of God, whether it's finishing here or finishing somewhere else. I don't care. Whatever God tells me, I'm determined. How determined are you? You got a hard thing, and here's what the tendency is. Well, can't handle that. I'll just quit. I'll just stop. I better hurry. Number three. How many of y'all, did y'all hear this when I read this? How many heard this when I read this? How many heard each town that he went to? A bearded wonder here. You listening to preaching tonight? You hear that? Did you read that? Every town he went to, he had a bunch of sons of prophets there. That's preacher boys. That's people like him. And here's what they said. Your master's going to leave you, and you're going to just be like us, left high and dry. You know what he said? Hold thy peace. You want to know what's Virginia vernacular for that?
Shut up!
Number three principle, you need to have some indifference about you. If you think you're going to serve God without opposition, without Mr. and Mrs. Cat, you might as well forget it. I didn't have a 6 months honeymoon here at Tate's Valley, did I, Roger, without having a fight? Paul Tumbler's not here when we brought that activity building up. Lord God, it almost World War III. Remember, Roger? Remember what I had to do? I don't know if you remember. You can't remember yesterday, but you remember, Roger? We had to table the meeting. We tabled it. Bunch of cussing Baptists, they all crazy. We tabled it. I don't know. You said, did they cuss? Well, they look like they're cussing. We tabled the meeting. I had a couple deacons mad, went home. Disgusted, so I'm quitting. I went up and visited them, stayed about half a night with them. I said, that's all right. It's my bad. I blame. I just wasn't ready for it. I should have knew we were going to have some idiots there. So what I done, I got the boys together, reorganized a little bit. I done heard all the mischief, so I knew what to say. Came back a week later, voted 100%. That's the only 100% vote I ever got. And we went. But see, if I'd have been like some of you, I'd just quit. So here's what you got to do. And I've learned to do this. I am going to be indifferent from a knucklehead that don't have no clue what pastoring is trying to tell me what to do. I'm indifferent. You ain't telling me what to do. Do you know that? Now, I'll listen to sense. But I ain't listening to nonsense. I ain't telling you I ain't had deacons that helped me make decisions. Sure I have. That's what they're there for. But ladies and gentlemen, when it gets down to the rubber meets the road, the buck starts here, and I'm going to be right, and I'm going to be indifferent to any negative stupidity.
That's right. Preach on now.
You know why some of you have given up on hard things? Because somebody went and said something ugly about you. Hello? Just like that weasel preacher that said ugly things about me. He said, I'm too stout on the King James. And I'm too stout on convictions. And I'm too stout about wicked Calvinism. And I'm too stout about the contemporary movement. You know why he don't like none of that? Because he is that.
Yeah.
And I'm indifferent to it. Do you think that this is easy street? I don't think what you're going through is easy street. But I do believe there's a God that can take you through. I got to hurry, Lord. It's 701. Some of y'all about ready to check your pacemaker. Number four, write this down. Hey, Rich, you'll like this one. done sat on Chad's lap, might as well come back and sit on your lap. No, I ain't gonna. What did he ask him for, Rich?
Double.
What?
Double.
What? A double portion. Now, let me clarify this. That would be like Pastor Chad, when I get ready to leave here, and they get me, and I want them to bury me under that, in that field out there, and put a big building over me. And it'd be like Pastor Chad, as I'm pumping my last breath, look at me right before I die and say, I want to do double what you've done.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Bless you.
Number four, you're going to do hard things. Now, this is difficult. Listen to this. You've got to be ambitious. You know why folks in this church never done big things? They've never dreamed big. They've never had ambition. When I came here, the first Sunday, I said, we'll have 500 one day. And had that rascal get me right here and said, you'll never see 200. What's wrong, Weasel? You can't handle a little bit of toughness? I'll get on you like I did down there in Jacksonville, huh? And he said, you'll never see 200. Well, we've seen 200. We've seen 500. And I took a bullet to the day we got 500 and put it on his grave. And and yes, I was ambitious. And yes, I did want to have a church like this. And yes, I did dream of big things. And yes, I did want to make a difference in my life. And yes, I did. Yes, I was willing to do whatever it took. And if I ended the message right now, some of you yahoos would say, well, Pastor Smith is full of pride because he's so ambitious. I'm still ambitious. Who would at 66 years old take on an almost $4 million building program with a pacemaker and not knowing how long I'm going to live?
Susie
does know I have a new pacemaker. And not knowing how I was going to live. But you know what I've done? I still believe God can do big things in Taze Valley.
Yep.
And them deacons come down the house. Remember, I was laid up with my knees. Y'all came down there and we had a meeting and we all agreed that we ought to do it and stepped out on faith. Didn't happen. 800,000 compared to 400,000, 4 million. But I believe God wanted it. And I was ambitious enough to take it on. And now if you people be obedient and give 1,000 here, some of you give 1,000, some of you 5,000, a few of you give 10,000, we probably could knock this thing out by June. Hello, don't die on me. I knew you'd die as soon as I said that. What if one of y'all is the last 1,000 that makes it 234? Whoop! Whoop! Now hold it. Now, Rich, there's one more point. Because if I don't give this point, the rest of the points are mute. Moot, excuse me. When Elijah took up to heaven, do any of y'all know what Elisha did? Do you know? Do you know what he did? He ripped his clothes off. He rent his clothes. What's renting clothes mean? You're humble. Humility. See, here's the thing. Ain't a thing wrong with you thinking big and being ambitious as long as it is clothed after God does the big thing with humility. Now, every one of y'all about know me. And if you're honest, let's just see if you're honest. I ain't changed much. Nah. I'm not a big guy and you're a little you. I've never been that way. I'm just a guy I'm just a guy who believed God can do anything. And I asked him to do big things. And he done them. But I got to be honest with you. When I look back at my life, I think, why in God's name? And some of y'all are probably thinking it right now. Would he ever use a bartender's boy like me? Somebody brought up on the backside of the tracks. Somebody whose daddy sold booze and gambled his whole life. I want you to know something, son. I haven't forgot where I came from. I'm the same old boy I've always been. I know I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that God could have used anybody else other than me. But he used me because I put on them principles. And said, God, I'll do what it takes. And after you get the job done, I'll cry like a baby. Thank you for giving me hard things. I wonder, I'm done. I done went over again. Dear God Almighty, long-winded preacher. I wonder how many of you got something hard in your life? You don't even want to talk about it, but it's hard. Being where you're at in your life right now is hard. Why don't you come up to this altar and say, you know, I'll start by being faithful. Then I'm going to be determined. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me I can't. And I'm going to dream big. But then when it's all said and done, I'm going to give him glory for every bit of it. I wonder how many in this room got something hard, something big, something that you can't handle. Maybe your kids are into something they can't handle. And you want to see God do some hard things. Stand with me. If you want to do that, get around the altar. Father, thank you for letting this little preacher man come and do it again. Preach again. Get my all again. Help folks flock to the altar wanting to do hard things. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. You ought to be up here.